time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt here with us again this week. And Bruce, good to have a special guest joining us this week.
It sure is. It's nice to have Brian Dalldorf back with us. A fine gentleman I met a few years ago at the University of Kansas at an SLA conference. He's a editor. He's a poet. He works at the University of Kansas, and he also in the Douglas County Jail out there. When he was on with us before, we were talking about his poems in his book Ice Age about his dad's battle with Alzheimer's. I've read a poem of his out of Blue Notes, one of his other collections. But today we have some new poems that Brian sent me, and I thought it'd be great to have him back to read some of those and talk about them. So, Brian, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be back. Thanks, Bruce.
Well, I wish we had time to read all of these. I picked out not my favorites, but ones I thought would be particularly good for our listeners, because I'm at fault in that I don't give soccer or football enough attention because it's not a game I really understand well. But I thought if you could start with A Losing Game, because it's a poem that doesn't have to be about that sport. It could be about any sport. It's really good.
Yeah, thanks. So this is about football, as I say, or soccer, as people say here. But it's kind of about playing sport at a sort of local level and what that feels like. So I think it can be related to other sports too. It's called A Losing Game. Smitty comes late to the game, reeking of last night's booze. He stretches out on the changing room bench, farts and groans. Sod this for a game of soldiers. Gypsy Davy has so much bandage wrapped around his swollen ankle, can't get his sock on till he cuts a slit in it. Our goalkeeper, Tiny Cordwell, wears glasses thick as a house wall. Our best player, Jocko, has to work today at his uncle's slaughterhouse. The Full Moon team hates us. Last season, we beat them in a cup game with a last-minute penalty, and their captain, Hacker Haynes, the butcher, got sent off for threatening to chop up the ref. We slouch onto the pitch in cold rain. We have 9 players for their 13. This is going to be a hard 90 minutes. This is going to hurt.
I just love that poem. And there's so many great things. Tiny Caldwell. I mean, when your goalie's tiny, it already sounds like you're in trouble, even if he could be a big guy, and that's a play on things. But all of these characters come alive very quickly to me, which is something I always find in your poems, that you don't waste time getting to the point. They're really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so, I played local soccer, and, these were some of the sort of characters that I played with, and we kind of loved it and hated it at the same time,
Well, that's why I picked, if you would read next, Photograph of the Young Lions, because I thought, in a sense, it really does follow this poem and in our relationship with people that we know or we've played with or we've watched over time. This is if you wouldn't mind reading that one next, that'd be great.
Yeah, so this in this particular poem, the sport isn't even mentioned, and it's just that kind of feeling that you have with playing on a team and the success of the team, and you have that kind of moment where you're successful, and then you have to live the rest of your lives, and that's what I was thinking about with this poem. So it's called Photograph of the Young Lions. There'd be 3 of us killed in driving accidents, one after another. Chrissy, Pogue, then Styx Martin. We figured we had to be cursed. There was Johnny, who OD'd, and we all went to his funeral and cried. Jermaine and his weak heart. He never played again after high school. Carlos moved back to Honduras, got shot in the head at a protest. Mitchell got fat and miserable and works at his uncle's furniture store. Matthias moved out of town. We never found out what happened to him. Gunther went back to Germany and posted stuff about Hitler. Bloomberg's diabetes got so bad he ended up in a wheelchair by the time he was 26. But we were the Young Lions, won the state championship that year, and look at us celebrating a big win, young lions in the sun.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
Yeah. What so moved me is I'm fortunate enough to coach 8 high school girls teams that won state championships. And anytime I think of that, I think of those girls as being that age, you know, and some of them are now have their own children who will be going to the same school pretty soon. And I love the way that you captured that in that last stanza, that's what we're always looking at, that picture of the celebration, almost no matter what else happens.
Yeah. There's a kind of nostalgia for those days, I think, when, you know, you were kind of young and athletic and it just felt like the best thing in the world.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, the next one I'd love to have you read is Father and Son. And I again, think in a sense it sort of follows. These sort of make sense to me in this order because it sort of goes at another of those things that is both the past and the present.
Yeah, so this one is called Father and Son, and it's about the way that they're kind of connected through sport. This is not about my dad, because my dad didn't like sport at all, but it was kind of how I wished we could have connected. Again, it's about soccer. I think it's pretty clear, even if you don't know the game of soccer, but it's called Father and Son. My dad was voted best fullback in the Northwest Essex League. A rock who could rumble up the touchline and whip the ball across for Stan Coppin to head in. New engines better than the motor oil inside them could listen to an engine and tell you what was wrong. His small, strong hands were his best tools. For hours in the back garden, he'd roll the ball to me, tell me to shoot, and pat me on the back for what I did right. He said, "I don't want you fixing cars like me." He had it figured. I'd turn pro at 16 for a London team, make my debut at 18, first goal, first England cap. I was on my way to the top. He didn't get mad when I said I didn't want that. He didn't get it when I told him I'd write books, but said he'd read my first stories, read Dickens and Hemingway, and expect me to be that good. Nothing better than watching a game with my dad, his eye on the defender who played his heart out, mine on the midfield magician who could make the ball appear and disappear.
Yeah, I love that poem for so many reasons, especially when we sort of imagine being someone else and try and see that other father and son. There's almost no way to not see our own self and our own father. I think it's just a really great poem. I really like it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, I mean, my dad was a really good mechanic. He was that, but he didn't like sport. And I wish that he did like sport, because it would have been a great connection. But that's what I imagined in the poem.
Yeah, but the other thing I like, though, about the poem is that so many times our parents have plans for us. I think mine thought I would be a senator from Connecticut, but it just wasn't. That was not going to be, you know. And only the gracious ones, and mine were very gracious about when I decided to do what I want to do. I think I teach a lot of kids, and you probably do too, whose parents wanted them to do something. They switch over to what we teach, and their parents are horrified that they're not going to be able to make their way in the world. You know, they don't trust that anymore. So that's what I really liked about this, that the father, that he didn't get mad.
Yeah, that's how I imagined him. And I kind of liked it that the father in this poem accepted who the son wanted to be and encouraged him in that. And yet they were still connected through sport that they both loved.
Yeah, it made me feel really good. And I'm going to actually read that poem to my my last class tomorrow of the semester, because we've just gotten through workshopping a lot of memoir with really bad relationships between parents and their children. So I thought I'm going to read them this one if it's okay with you, and let them know that you can imagine things differently if you try.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, that would be great.
Now, one I really wanted to get in is the football coach's wife, because I think you have really, as someone who's had a son recruited for Division I football in America, and being close, and Rich being the voice of Maine, University of Maine play-by-play for radio, I think this one will really resonate with our audience.
Yeah, thanks. So this really came from one of my students. His dad was the football coach at KU, and I just kind of imagined what it would be to be in a football family, because that wasn't anything that I'd experienced. So that was really my starting point, and I just thought that it would be interesting to think about his mother's perspective on this. Yeah, so it's called The Football Coach's Wife, and so it's in her voice. He's got his eye, I can tell. He thinks Cody's fast, and if he gets to be big, then he could be a linebacker like my husband was. He could be a college player at least, and who knows, he might have a shot at the NFL. Dean's smaller but fast too. We can tell that even though they're only 7 and 9. My husband's assessing them like they're draft prospects because football has given him a good life and he wants it for his sons. Of course he does. I sit with them to watch games. There's always a game to watch. Friday night, all day Saturday. My husband explaining plays to our sons. What play the offense will run this time, how well they executed it. Then they go out into the yard to practice. My husband lining them up and running into them. Not hard, but hard enough, so I flinch each time I see my sons hit. My husband says there's too much talk of football injuries. A guy can get knocked down crossing the street, he says, as though that's a good argument. It makes a man of you, this game does. It made a man of me. A good man, a kind man, a man who'd never hurt me the way some men hurt their wives. I suppose I should be glad I married a football man, not a soldier. My boys will fight, but only on the football field, and it is just a game. And after the game, most all the players are able to go home.
Mm. Brian, that is that the way you, when that poem makes its move towards the end, that's just brilliant. That knocked me out. I ran right downstairs and read that to my wife when these arrived the other day, because, boy, that is so true. Most of the players are able to go home. And yet we see coaches use war imagery all the time in football. And Rich is nodding with me here. We've heard it all the time. There's a battle out there. He's mustered his troops. No, it's a game. War's for keeps. That's really a good poem. When did you know you were going towards that ending?
Well, I mean, I just had the sense that when you play these sports, I mean, it's wonderful, and for the most part, it's a really good experience. But football in particular is a dangerous game, and I've had a lot of football students in my class who have been badly hurt at football and probably will never make a career of it or anything. And I just kind of wondered how somebody who really cared about the player would think about that.
Well, I think it's great. I too have had football players and hockey players and others that have suffered pretty good injuries. Most of them, fortunately, that in my experience have been able to bounce back in some way. But there is that sense that we need to keep our eye on that part of the ball. Well, do we have time for one more? Yeah, it would be great. Brian, I really appreciate you doing this today. Could you read Punch? I think that all three of the men in the studio have, in one way or another, been in this poem at some point.
Yeah, okay. So this one's a little bit different, because I think that the other ones sort of came from people that I knew or something like that. But this is more like a very small short story.
Yeah.
And it's kind of about the relationship between a husband and wife and the husband wanting to watch the TV. So, yeah, it's called Punch, and it's kind of about a fight, but it's also a sort of fight between the husband and wife as well. Punch. There's a good middleweight fight on TV. Harry says, can't you turn off that crap? Two guys messing each other up. What do you like about that? Plenty, I say, and promise to take her out to the Tumble Inn when the fight's done. She says she's going with Bridget. Fine by me. Have fun. I throw some punches at the TV, duck and weave. Could have been a box tried, but I've seen those guys punched out, unloved, in dark bars, drinking themselves stupid. Whack, 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 punches flying in. When I look up, Carrie's gone.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Brian, I want to make sure I don't forget to ask you this. Do you have any new books coming out? Have you got anything coming out in any journals or things we should be looking for? Because I always like to alert people to that.
No, I sent you some information about my book about my jail work, which came last year.
Yeah, so if you could briefly tell everybody about this, is interesting. It's your experience of working for 26 years teaching in the jail, something like that?
Well, 20 years, actually. 20 years. I started in 2001, and this is a writing class at the county jail in Lawrence, Kansas. And I published a book last year about that experience, which includes a lot of writing by the people that I worked with in the jail. So I wanted to have a record of that work that I'd done, and also to...
Sounds like we may have lost Brian. Yeah, we have lost him. Well, we're glad he was on, and I'll get in touch with him, and we'll talk about it.
But yeah, that was wonderful.
That was really good stuff, and it's always really great to talk to him. Brian Daldorph, and Daldorph.
All right, what's coming up on the Future Sports Lits?
Well, next week we're going to be talking with Brandon Buehler from who wrote the opening chapter in Sporting Realities, which is a which is the book we've been talking about recently. He's going to talk on it. If that chapter really set it up, then the following 2 weeks, I'm hoping that we're going to have the people that wrote the chapter on the 68 Olympics and on the the other things we've talked. We'll eventually have all the other offers of that on.
Excellent. We're looking forward to that.